possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
As we continue the conversation around the Cleveland sports scene, training camps obviously in full swing. Preseason is just around the corner. Don't miss a minute of The Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 92thefan.com or on your smartphone via the free Odyssey app. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour, 8:20. We'll pick her brain about training camp and everything she took in yesterday. But here's, so we know the quarterback competition is where everyone's focus is going to be on here during camp. First open practice is obviously tomorrow. I'm sure fans will be paying very close attention to how things go. What I thought was interesting about yesterday, Danny, is that it was basically everything we knew about this competition, I think, going into training camp was the same, or like when minicamp ended was the same. Joe Flacco kind of has a first-round bye here. He was just kind of a
is that what yesterday was?
A bystander. Yeah, he was just kind of watching during 11-on-11s. Kenny Pickett was with the ones during 11-on-11s. Dylan Gabriel was with the twos. And Shador Sanders was with the threes during 11-on-11s. And Kevin Stefanski continues to say, like, it's going to be different day-to-day, and don't read too much into it and all these different things. I just don't, like, okay, back in the spring, I get that. This time of year, I don't know how you can sell anybody or talk anybody into, like, don't read into this. Like, there's 46 days until the season starts. You are now prepping for the season. We're, of course, going to interpret, like, how you're splitting these reps and what you're doing with these guys as something.
Were you surprised yesterday with how the reps were distributed between the four of them? And I do think, and you can explain this better than I can because you were in Berea and I was not.
Yeah.
But having the younger guys on a separate field than the older guys, I think makes sense so that you can maximize your time. Because if you have four guys in one drill all trying to get reps, like, nobody is getting enough, right? Whether it's Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, or Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders, nobody is getting the amount of work that they need. So I do think that is something that makes sense. And I think that the groupings obviously make sense because I don't look at this as a four-man race. I look at it as two separate two-man races.
Yeah, I agree.
For the starter and the backup, and then who's going to be third between Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. But when as far as it got to 11-on-11, like, were you surprised that Joe Flacco didn't get reps yesterday? Because that was something like, you know what, I don't know that that made a lot of sense.
I was surprised in the sense that first day back, I thought they would try to use the first day to get, like, everybody doing something in 11-on-11s a little bit. Now, granted, first day of practice at training camp is always a little shorter. It's kind of just more like getting a feel. But I did think, like, first day back, it was going to be like everyone's getting pretty even split on their respective fields or, like, in 11-on-11s, and we'll just kind of go from there. Like, for it to be exactly like it was at minicamp, it kind of just felt like, you know, mini camp day four. Like, we all came back and it was like, all right, well, we're just continuing mini camp for now. So I did think that was a little weird. Let me ask you this, because I was thinking about this last night on my drive home from Berea. Maybe like the galaxy brain way of looking at this, because I interpret Flacco sitting out and not taking a lot of reps right now as what I alluded to, like, he kind of has a first round bye in this competition.
Well, you know who he is. Yes, you know, right, what Joe Flacco can bring to the table. You know who Joe Flacco is, even if he might not be the same guy that he was when he was here the first time.
100%, and I agree. Like, to me, it's a lot about they understand, like, he doesn't need the reps. They know what they're getting with him, right? But what if, cuz here's the thing, like, you're going to get to a point in this competition where they have to make a decision on somebody to either cut, trade, whatever. And we know, like, the excuse they'll use is, well, we didn't have enough reps for that guy, or like, he didn't get enough reps or whatever. If they really love Kenny Pickett, and that's all we've heard is they really love Kenny Pickett, what if them, like, holding back Joe Flacco is because they know what they have in him, but they're also like, we want to give the reps to these guys and let them kind of duke it out more so than Flacco? And what if that becomes ultimately the thing that they use as the reason why they ultimately trade Joe Flacco? Like, what if it's actually, what if it's deeper?
But who's trading for Joe Flacco?
I guess somebody that, maybe they're assuming, like, that at some point somebody needs a quarterback and they get desperate and that's who they trade for.
I don't think anybody is trading for Joe Flacco, and I don't think anybody's trading for Kenny Pickett either. Like, I think the Browns have put them, I mean, maybe, but even then.
You seen their quarterback room?
Yeah, even then, I don't know that I would want 40-year-old Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett into it. Like,
well, I think if it's bad, the Saints, but I think it's Pickett, because he has the connection with Kellen Moore. You know, he has,
right,
and they have, like, no real veterans on that roster at quarterback right now. I'm not saying it's,
but,
like,
I don't think if you are Kevin Stefanski, if you're the Browns, I don't think you can operate your training camp and the way you are divvying up reps based upon who might get traded. I think you have to worry about what you have, because the Browns are, like, the Browns have to worry about the Browns before they can worry about who the Saints might want to trade for. They have to worry about, yeah, who's going to give them, especially with what the first 6 weeks of the schedule looks like. And I know we have just hammered that point home, but they have to worry about who is going to give them the best chance to win. They can't worry about, well, if Kenny Pickett gets these reps here, it might give us a better chance at trading him to the New Orleans Saints. Like, no, if that's going to happen, it's going to happen. I don't think that operating during training camp on that premise is the best way to go, because they have their own team that needs to be, yeah, prepared.
So it's not even, to clarify, it's not even that I think they're operating where it's like, well, hey, we might trade this guy, so we're going to build the reps around that. It's more so like, right now, it's easy for us to sit here and say, well, they're not playing Flacco because they know what they have in him. And I do think that's the reason they're doing it. But I'm just saying, like, as we get deeper into this thing, if it gets to a point where, because Kevin even said yesterday, you know, sooner rather than later, he hopes to have an answer at quarterback, whatever that means, whatever that looks like. I don't think we're going to, I honestly don't think we get, like, a true answer or a more revelatory answer until after the joint practices with the Eagles. Because we know Stefanski talks every year about how much he values those joint practices and how much they get, sure, out of those. And it's going to be a lot of Pickett and Flacco taking those reps, I would imagine. But when push comes to shove and they got to make a decision on this group and they decide who the starter is going to be, I just wonder if, like, because the easy excuse is just going to be like, well, unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to, like, play X guy enough to really get a good evaluation, whether it's like they're going to be third on the depth chart or they're going to be released or whatever or traded. I just wonder if, like, that ends up coming back to bite Flacco, and it's not even in his control. Like, it's out of his hands entirely. They're structuring it this way. But I almost wonder if that becomes, like, the easy way where they can be like, well, hey, when push comes to shove, that, like, I just wonder if it comes back and it's the thing that they use against him of, like, we didn't get to use Flacco enough, so unfortunately he's the odd man out. We're going to go with Kenny Pickett.
I don't think he would be here if that were going to happen. Like, I do think there had to be some sort of understanding, some sort of agreement between Joe Flacco and the Browns for this to not be a waste of Joe's time, right? Like, I don't think that he, yeah, would be in Cleveland. And I'm not saying that he has some assurances that he's going to be the starter, but I do think that he had to enter here in the pole position to do so. And maybe they're going to give Kenny Pickett every opportunity to beat him out. Maybe that's what they should be doing. I don't see it with him. Like, I don't think, I think Joe is probably a better quarterback at this point, even at his age, than what Kenny Pickett is ever going to be, because I've never been a Kenny Pickett believer. But I do think there has to be some understanding there. Yeah, Joe might not be getting all the reps because Joe doesn't need the reps. We know what Joe Flacco can do. And at a certain point, that has to change because Joe Flacco also has to start getting ready for the season physically and getting those repetitions. But I do understand part of it is to, okay, well, let's learn a little bit more about these guys and we will start to ramp Joe Flacco up.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they are going to structure this competition in, I don't know, maybe fair is not the right word, but do you see it as something where like they're truly treating this as everyone's going to get their fair shake, everyone's going to kind of get their fair share of opportunities, or do you think they're sort of stacking the deck in a way to get the result, that the potential result that they want the most?
I think that they are stacking the deck so that either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett is going to be the starter. And like, this is not some rocket science type of thing. I don't think that either one of these rookies, considering that Dylan Gabriel was drafted in the third round and Shedeur Sanders was picked in the fifth round, like those guys should not ever be expected to start week one of their rookie season after where they were picked. So I do think that it is a two-man competition, and they are stacking the deck in that way. I don't think that they're necessarily forcing one outcome or the other in either competition, but knowing what we know about all of these quarterbacks, I would be surprised if Joe Flacco is not the week one starter.
I feel the same way, and I've talked about this a ton. Like, I just think Flacco to me is it goes back to what we've said. Like, they know what to expect with Flacco. They know what the offense is going to look like. I've also argued young team. Flacco's a guy that can make guys around him better. I don't know that Kenny Pickett does that. But here's the thing.
Well, there's no proof he ever has.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's the thing for me is like, my biggest fear is we get a Kenny Pickett preseason like we saw 2 years ago, where people like Peter Schrager were touting him as an MVP candidate.
The new Montana to Rice.
Yep. And we lean into so much how he looks in these preseason games and what he does during training camp and all that. And then the bullets are flying on a Sunday in the on an NFL actual game day, and he looks like Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh. I'm not saying it's going to be – I can see it being better just because Matt Canada had no idea what the hell he was doing.
I think the difference between that and right now is we have so much more evidence of who Kenny Pickett is as a quarterback, where then he was generally still a bit of an unknown.
True.
Right? Like, he had – that was going into, what, his second season in Pittsburgh? Yeah. And, you know, he had played as a rookie, but – I think we still didn't know exactly who Kenny Pickett was or what Kenny Pickett was going to be in the NFL. I think we have a lot more evidence as to what the answers to those questions are, to where even if he does have a good preseason, I don't view this as things are going to get blown out of proportion the way they were back then.
I am as staunch as ever that preseason it does nothing for me. Especially with the way these teams do joint practices now, like the preseason games give me absolutely nothing in terms of information that I feel like is really that tangible. Those are for people who are on the roster bubble trying to earn spots.
Yeah.
They're not for me to sit there and be like, well, because this happened, like the teams aren't game planning against each other. Everything changes when you put the pads on in week one and the games actually matter. And I promise you I will not be overreacting to Kenny Pickett preseason games, because it's absurd. Joe Thomas, he played with plenty of quarterbacks in his time, and he pointed out yesterday the biggest problem with not having a set starter or a franchise guy to maybe lean on. We also need to get to Joe Thomas, who, listen, the guy who's played with, I don't know, what percentage of names on that mannequin in the window has Joe Thomas played with, we think? Like, over 50%?
60-ish%.
Okay.
If I had to guess.
So he knows the importance of having a good quarterback, the leadership of a quarterback, somebody who can be a voice in the room. And he had some interesting thoughts on that yesterday here at the station. So, but first, I want to bring in a couple callers here. Tony in Mansfield, jumping in on the quarterback conversation. What's up, Tony?
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, not much. With the whole quarterback competition, you guys are talking about Joe Flacco, right? We know what we have in Joe. But then you guys were saying, well, there had to be some type of talk or understanding about Joe being here, you know, and just kind of taking a sideline seat. But at what point do we say, all right, or at least Joe as a veteran, being, it would be kind of frustrating. It's like, all right, I need to get reps. That way, if I am going to be the starter, I can have some type of rhythm and relationship in with the players that I'm going to be playing with. Because you don't want to go into the season. I mean, now I know he had some magic when he was with us a couple years ago, right? But as a veteran, you would want those reps so that you can be a more competent quarterback week one, if he is going to be the starter, or however they see it. Maybe he's not going to be the starter. Maybe they see Kenny Pickett. But that would be frustrating as a veteran to be in there and still on the side, and then saying, okay, yep, you're going to, well, we see what we have with these other three quarterbacks. They don't have it. Joe, you're going to be our starter. Well, then now you just kind of still put him in a situation to underachieve, even though if he's still the best quarterback. And I think that would be frustrating. Now, big picture, I know that this is just a year really where we're going to see what we have. But I think as this coaching staff, you should be able to wither this quarterback competition down with minicamp. I mean, you should be able to see what you got. I don't think it should be down to joint practices to be like, all right, now what are we going to do? That seems a little bit lengthy to kind of, it's like kicking the can down the road.
Well, I think, as Danny and I have talked about, like, I think they've withered it down to a degree already in making it like two separate competitions where it's like Shador and Dylan are fighting for the backup job, and Flacco and Pickett are fighting for the starting job. I just think, like, the joint practices are going to be the thing that ultimately triggers for me, like, when they make a decision, or they have a decision in their mind of, like, it's Flacco or Pickett. I like what you're saying, though, Tony, about, like, the rep distribution here, and maybe Flacco being a little frustrated, especially because when he got here, we all remember his comments about, like, mentoring guys, right? Where he was like, guys, I'm not here to be a mentor. I'm here to compete. So I would imagine on some level he probably... And again, we'll see how long it lasts, but he wants to be out there taking the reps because he wants to try to win the job himself. I will say, though, too, Tony, if anybody gets the benefit of the doubt on, like, building chemistry, I do think it's Joe Flacco to a degree. I saw this man go from playing football in his backyard with his kids and sitting on the couch on Sundays watching games to throwing, you know, 60-yard touchdown passes to Amari Cooper in the matter of, like, 3 weeks. So I think he can figure that thing out, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's, and I completely agree with you. And I think we do have to give him that benefit of the doubt. It's just still, you know what I mean, just as a veteran and as an elite competitor, you don't want anything, not giving you a disadvantage, but you want to have the best chance to still show that you're capable. And without that benefit of the doubt, hey, you guys have a wonderful day. You guys have done a great job holding it down with Ken and Anth out. So you guys have a good rest of your week. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Tony.
That was very, very kind. He didn't mention Daryl in that though. He didn't say Daryl did a nice job. He said specifically you and me did a nice job.
So, read into that however you want.
I don't know what. Yeah, just like the quarterback reps. Read into it however you want. Joe Thomas,
the same way you can read into our rep distribution this week with the guys out.
Yeah, what can we take away from Keith Britton's rep distribution of the hosts here at 92 through the fan?
Who is available what days?
216-474-992 if you got any thoughts on that. But no, Joe Thomas joined. Was he on Baskin and Phelps yesterday? Afternoon drive. Okay. He was on afternoon. I you know what's funny? I just looked down and I noticed that it says Joe Thomas on afternoon drive. So maybe that's on me. I'm not throwing Mitch under the bus here on this one. Mitch actually did his job. I botched it.
That was rude. A surprise.
Mitch did his job.
Mitch actually did his job.
I did not my job. Bad job out of me.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Yeah, on multiple fronts. And he talked about the quarterback decision and why it's important to have it made earlier because that voice in the locker room is important. And let's face it, from a guy who didn't have that voice in the locker room a lot because he played with
so many
quarterbacks.
Well, he was the voice in the locker room.
Yeah, exactly. I think we could take from Joe Thomas that how important this really is. Here's what he said.
I think the quick answer would be Joe Flacco because he's the known quantity. He's the guy that everybody's comfortable with. So if it was a quick decision, I think everybody's going to say, yep, he knows the offense. He can still sling the ball. He's going to put everybody in the right spot. He's going to make the right audibles. He's going to get us where we need to be so we can operate efficiently and that individually all the players can focus on their job. Because the worst part about having a quarterback who's young and maybe inexperienced is now everybody's worrying about what he's doing. And then you're not thinking about what you have to do, which it's human nature to do that, but it's really a bad thing. And I think it causes a lot of distractions and disruption within the offense, within a team when you don't know who that leader is, who's your quarterback. Because even if you're a wallflower, if you're the starting quarterback, you are the unquestioned leader of that team. And so guys want to know who they're supposed to look to in times of trials and tribulation. So I think a quick resolution is the most important thing.
I think these comments are fascinating, Danny, because I think a lot of people feel like the Browns are a team without a rudder when it comes to that leadership proponent specifically.
I do too, yeah.
Especially when it comes to, I think they look to Miles to be that guy, but we all know Miles is only that guy to a point, right? Like, he says certain things that I think resonate with guys, but is he like the real leader of the team? I don't know. How worried are you about that leadership proponent missing from this team going into the season, even if they pick a quarterback sooner rather than later?
Well, I mean, if you are looking for leadership at that quarterback position, I think Joe Flacco is the answer there. Like, I don't look at Kenny Pickett as a leader because, and partially because I don't think he's accomplished anything of substance in the NFL. And obviously Joe Flacco has, even if at his age now, he's not the same guy that won a Super Bowl for the Baltimore Ravens way back when. And it, of course, is not fair whatsoever to expect a third round rookie quarterback or a fifth round rookie quarterback to come in and immediately be a leader of an NFL team. So I think that those two can be ruled out. And Kenny Pickett also, I just don't look at as a leader. So I do think if you are looking at this, as Joe mentioned, which I do think is an important part of this discussion. But if you're looking at this from a leadership standpoint, which I think we probably both agree, Spencer, the Browns don't have a ton of it inside that locker room right now. That is not a locker room that I look at that is filled with leadership. We had a whole conversation yesterday, Daryl and I did, about the lack of leadership maybe Myles Garrett shows and how there's not really somebody else that steps up into that void. But I do think if you're looking for a leadership type thing, Joe Flacco is answer number one and really the only answer to that question in that specific quarterback room.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to gauge at this point what leadership the rookies are bringing to the table. I think Shador carries himself a certain way that we've seen, especially with the off-the-field stuff, where we can sort of get a sense of how he would handle those things. And we've heard his teammates at Colorado talk about it from a leadership standpoint. I think Dylan Gabriel brings some of that to the table as well. We know they fell in love with his intangibles. But Flacco was the one where it's like, you've seen it, you know it. There's guys in the locker room who have seen it and know it because he was here in 2023 and they went on that magical run. I do think, like, as we assess this team, both this year and moving forward, I think it has to be like one of the biggest problems with the structure of this team right now is that they don't have that person to be that voice. Like it's funny, and it's funny how we got here, because back in 2021, the team brass had a problem with that specific voice. It was Baker.
Right.
And we remember like the need of adult in the room comments and all those things. And
which
so,
I don't think we're wrong at the time.
Yeah.
To be fair here, too.
Baker probably doesn't even think they're wrong at the time.
I mean,
looking
he
back,
might, but I also think that he's probably pretty thankful for the way things turned out because he did need to grow up. He was not ready to be the guy he is now here.
For sure. And so I don't think they were necessarily wrong in that, but to now be at a point where it's like, listen, they agreed with Miles to a degree where it's like, okay, we gotta choose Miles in this situation. He's the star player. And he maybe has more of what we're looking for there, but they're still missing that other piece, and Miles only takes you to a certain level. That is the thing that I think holds this team back and is going to hold this team back, even going into the next year and beyond, is like, do you have that leadership piece figured out? That if you have that figured out, you don't have Juan Thornhill situations where guys are like quitting in games. Like, Joe's 100% right about this. That piece matters. The quarterback piece matters. It's important that they figure this out quickly this year, but also just like moving forward when they assess quarterbacks, when they eventually draft or potentially draft their future leader, having the guy that can take that mantle is going to be so important to the future of this franchise and the futures of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski on top of just the football side of it as well.
And you hope that next year they find a franchise quarterback because, and maybe you feel differently than I do as far as this goes, I don't think that guy is currently on the roster right now. I'm not a believer in any of these four as a potential franchise quarterback at this current moment. Of course, that can change, particularly with the two rookies. But you hope that when you find that guy is your leader, because it's the easiest way to find leadership in the NFL is to have a great quarterback that exemplifies it.
Yeah, it's a problem, and it's not one that's going away anytime soon, especially when you consider, you know, none of these, like this room could look totally different next year. If it is Flacco who starts this year, like, yeah, that's great for 2025. What's it mean for 2026? They got to have that voice in some capacity, and it still is something the Browns continue to pursue, even years after Joe Thomas was here with that carousel of quarterbacks that he played with.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Browns training camp officially underway. All players set on the field for the start of the preseason yesterday. We heard from Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski a number of times during his press conference. We also have a clip here from yesterday, the Browns putting out on their social media, talking about the struggles of going into a late July practice for this Cleveland Browns squad.
It's hot out here. Guess what? It's going to be hot tomorrow. Okay? Get used to it. Get used to practicing hard, because there's no other way to callus up your body. There's no other way to callus up your mind. Team on three. One, two, three.
You heard it, boys. Get used to it.
How did it take 5 years for Kevin Stefanski to suddenly realize, like, hey, the best way to callus your body is to go and practice hard in the heat of Cleveland when it's 90 degrees in late July and early August? I just don't get that.
Because I think this is the first year where there are different expectations for them. Because in each of the first few years of Kevin Stefanski's tenure in Cleveland, they were a team that was expected to be good, a team that was expected to be in the postseason. We don't have those expectations for them this year.
I think
that he needs to approach things a different way, because in previous years, I do think that they were planning on making runs to the Super Bowl. I don't think this organization is planning on that this year, nor should they be. I don't think he is either. I think he just said that. What I think they need to do is sort of rebuild a bit of a culture here. And I think that's how this starts. I don't think that in previous years, Kevin Stefanski and the rest of the Browns front office and coaching staff felt as if they needed to rebuild some culture. Right now, I think that they are almost starting from the ground up as far as that goes.
I don't know, man. You were coming off the heels of Freddie Kitchens. I think they knew they had to build a culture.
But that was the smart, tough, and accountable thing, and it worked.
Yeah. But was smart, tough, and accountable not being more physical at training camp practices? Because all we've heard about at least the last 2 years especially, and I can't speak to...
And that was also different with COVID. You do have to think about that,
2020
too.
2020 was different. That's a good point. That is a really, really good point that first year you couldn't do as much.
Maybe it would have been like this that first year, but we were in unprecedented times. So I think that year was more about, let's keep everybody healthy and not sick and available on Sundays. Yeah. And I think that was probably the right way to go about it.
That's probably the best point on this as to why things were a certain way back then in the way they held practice. And maybe it got away from them the last 2 years where it was like, you leaned too much into.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We're just trying to protect everybody on the field, because what I was going to ask next was Does it come off as disingenuous, though, when, like, this guy's been preaching one thing to some of these guys for the last 4 years, and now all of a sudden he's like, you know what, now we're going to be tough and physical, and they're just like, well, what's going on? I mean,
no, because how many guys that were on the roster 4 years ago are still here?
Well, and I also think, too, some of those guys probably see it as, like, a good thing that, like, a coach is evolving, right? Like that,
sure.
So that should be positive in that way. But I think the COVID thing is probably the best point. I think COVID screwed so much up in the way they did things. They got kind of stuck in their ways, and then the last 2 years, it became even more about that. And they finally realized, like, okay, time to change things up.
Well, you mentioned Myles Garrett. He had his comments regarding his expectations for the Super Bowl and Defensive Player of the Year award, which would be the second of his career. Now, Myles wasn't the only AFC Northerner to be touting the potential of a Super Bowl throughout yesterday's first run of training camp press conferences. This is Steelers general manager Omar Khan espousing the same sentiments.
Yeah, obviously there's pressure. You know, our goal is to win a Super Bowl, and that's what I'm striving for. I mean, that's what they want. That's what I want. So it's our goal.
Also doing the same is Ravens tight end Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I don't know about different. You know, I think there's always the goal, you know, of reaching it to the end, and we've been so close, haven't gotten there. I just think, again, it's us staying, you know, composed, focused on the growth of this team this time of year and getting to where we want to be week one.
But I think it's just like you guys said, this is the sentiment that all players, coaches, general managers have once you get to the first day of training camp. It's like, hey, clean slate, let's do it, Super Bowl.
But even then, for both those organizations, that should be their goal right now.
Yeah.
Like, the Steelers are a perennial playoff team that has not won a playoff game since the Obama administration. And they have a mercenary quarterback. Like, they have a quarterback that is there for 1 year with the goal of winning a Super Bowl. Like, that is what the deal in Pittsburgh is. The Baltimore Ravens are a perennial playoff team that has come up short despite having a Super Bowl caliber quarterback and Super Bowl caliber rosters. They need to have that goal. They are in a different position than the Browns right now. Now, do I believe either one of those teams are going to win the Super Bowl this year? No, of course not. I don't think either one of those teams will. But that should be their goal without question. I have nothing bad to say about that being the goal there. I just don't think that's the goal here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, you have to wonder at some point the Ravens have to break through, right? But you just don't know.
I
think it's funny that, you know, Mark Andrews says the Super Bowl thing and then the coach is saying the... maybe it's not Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, it's a loser mentality.
If people laugh at the Steelers because they'll be like, they haven't won a playoff game in how long? You know, are they really Super Bowl contenders with Aaron Rodgers at the age of 40? Like, I get all that. But the way they built this roster and everything they did, they are clearly thinking it's time for us to get over this hump. So I don't blame them.
And they should be.
Yeah, I don't blame them for having those aspirations. It makes more sense coming from somebody in the Steelers organization than it does Myles Garrett, obviously. But like, I think to Mitch's point, like, yes, this is just the first day of training camp is national, you know, explain why you're a Super Bowl champion day, essentially, in the NFL. Like, everyone has their reasons why.
Going over to Major League Baseball yesterday, the Cleveland Guardians victorious once again, 3-2 over the sliding Baltimore Orioles, a game in which is the 11th victory for the Guardians in the last 13. And Stephen Vogt, talking about the benefits of having clutch hits from the likes of Kyle Manzardo and All-Star Stephen Kwan.
I feel like we've talked about it a lot in here over the year, clutch hitting, situational hitting. It's taking what you get. It's learning how to hit. It's learning how to, you know, not every swing are you going to be able to take your A swing and get the barrel to it. You still have to find a way to do something positive.
You know, even though the Guardians, even until the recent past couple of games, have been struggling with runners in scoring position, last night I think is such a big growing point for those guys to really be able to come up in the clutch against better teams. I'm not trying to say Baltimore's not a good team, but they're just not a good team.
They're not a good team. They're a bad team, in fact. I would like to see this against better. And listen, I can't fault the Guardians for this. You play who is on your schedule. And the fact that the Guardians are beating bad teams is a good thing, without question. I would like to see them do this against some good teams. And granted, the last time they played a good team, they swept them in the Houston Astros. So maybe when they start playing good teams again, we will see a different version of them, but I'm just kind of gonna reserve the right to withhold judgment until I see them beating good teams.
Yeah, listen, this is all part of the story in baseball. It's 162 games. There's so many ups and downs. You're gonna have 10 game losing streaks like they had. They're gonna have a streak like they have right now.
I don't think you have.
Everybody doesn't have 10 game losing streaks.
No.
But that's my larger point here. Is like, I know everyone's getting excited. I know people are talking playoffs again. Owen predicted they'll make the playoffs. Daryl predicted they'll make the playoffs. Owen actually, I hope Owen's back tomorrow because If they sweep the Orioles, I'm going to make sure I bring up the fact that he said that he thought the Orioles would win at least one game in the series. So we'll get to that at another time.
Yeah, that'll show him.
Well, it all goes back to the conversation we had the other day, which I'll tell you off here. Anyway, I'm trying to keep in perspective here. Like, yes, this is great, but I still saw this team for an entire month struggle to hit the baseball and do much of anything offensive.
I'm hoping that's not the one game you're talking about is not today, because me and my family are going to that game, but we don't want to be spoiled.
I want the Guardians to win. Because the whole premise of when I was, remember I was doing my schedule thing and I was talking about the beginning of the Brown schedule and how we've made this boogeyman, and he was like, yeah, man, like, I get it. People lose games. Like, the Guardians are probably going to lose one of these games to the Orioles this week. And I just think it'd be funny if it didn't happen. I can go back to my schedule take. That's all.
I got you. Nice one against the Phillies last night, by the way. And last night, as we said, we had the Club 520 podcast, former NBAer Jeff Teague talking about LeBron James, and was asked the question, who was the more ultimate version of LeBron, the one in Miami or the second run in Cleveland? This is what he had to say.
He was on steroids, bro. He had to sit out. He was on steroids for real. Like, legit was on steroids, bro. Allegedly. But, like, he had to sit out. But y'all remember when they told him, like, y'all remember that, though? No. When they was like, he got everybody, they started testing for HGH. And he had to sit out. Like, he said his back was hurt. And he sat out for, like, 3 weeks. And he came back skinny. This is just, I was in the league. I remember. And he came back in. He was crazy, though.
Teague did go on the Patreon version of the podcast later on and clarify that he was joking.
Okay, but if you're joking, you don't say the word steroids that many times. You don't bring up the fact that, like, remember he was, like, gone for a little while and then he came back. Like, he alluded to it and he said allegedly one too many times, I think, for my liking and probably LeBron James' liking. There's two things professional athletes never want to be labeled as. They never want to be labeled as, like, quitters on their teammates and all that. And they never want to be labeled as cheaters or, like, PED users. Those are, like, the two worst things for your legacy. I don't think LeBron finds this funny, and I don't know that joking about it is funny, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Right, and I do think that Jeff Teague is somebody who has carved out this niche as a actual good former NBA player podcaster, because I think that's a rarity. I don't think
actually
most,
good.
No, but, like, I think his podcast is actually entertaining, and I, once upon a time, covered Jeff Teague when he was in Minnesota. He's a very funny and entertaining guy. But as part of that deal, there are going to be times where you cross a line and the joke doesn't land. And I think this might have been one of those times because we have gotten to the point now where when something is, like, over the top good, we say it's on steroids. And I think that is kind
the
of
the first
what
time
Jeff
he said it. That's what it sounded like. But then he just kept
and then
going.
He's like, oh, maybe, like, that worked. And I just think that this was trying to find a comedic balance that didn't work.
Can we talk about the fact that the clarification that it was a joke he put on the Patreon, which is behind a paywall? So if you're like, oh, hey, I'm joking, but you have to pay. You have to pay for it.
Subscribe for my apology.
To LeBron James. That's a whole nother level of trying to make
really
money.
Quickly, I had that clip right here.
We were saying he was so dominant that, like, bro, you 280, but I was joking. People like, how did you know he was on steroids? I didn't know. I don't know. I don't care. Because if he was and I knew, I would have told him to give me some.
And that's it for about last night.
Oh, man. Yeah. The last thing the NBA needs is another scandal of somebody doing something. When they got these betting scandals going on and they got obviously we know about the Tim Donaghy situation back in the day. They don't need that. They don't need that. Anyway.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.